This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin on the evening edition. And, you know, so earlier, I think during the 6:30 bit of our show, there was actually a bit of an update because there was a press conference that was called. And from there, things have developed further still. So here's where we stand at the moment. The Malaysian Insight has reported that the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council will be meeting to discuss Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's offer of a unity government tonight. So we've always known that the meeting was scheduled for this evening, but there has been some discussion over what it was going to be about. Since then, there's been, I guess, some circulation, some talk of a unity government, and now here's where we are.
And actually, in light of this news, you know, earlier we made mention to a press conference held by Barisan Nasional. They've initially said that they would support Tun M, so long as DAP isn't involved in the process. And if conditions weren't met, they, meaning Barisan Nasional as well as PAS, demand for parliament to be dissolved. Now, upon learning about this news for Tun M's plan to form a unity government, Barisan Nasional has withdrawn its support for Tun M, and at the same time that they've declared that their statutory declaration be moot.
And they would like for parliament to be dissolved, right?
Yes. So
I think what we have here is just a wonderful display of maturity from everybody involved, which is to say that nobody wants to work with anybody else, because I don't know. When I heard, you know, the news about Barisan Nasional basically saying that we're not going to work with you provided DAP is still involved, I was thinking about how, you know, according to some stories or, you know, according to some perspectives, Tun M essentially resigned because he would rather resign than work with UMNO again.
Yeah.
So it does feel as if, you know, much as a unity government at this point in time sounds in theory like something that that would help. If nobody wants to work with anybody, if everyone's going to have all these caveats in place and work from the space of old wounds and, you know, socio-political divide, I don't know where we're headed with this.
Yeah, because the baggage will clearly more or less always be there. Right? Like, it's going to be a question of who's going to pull this move again, come within just this next 2 years if we don't, for example, have fresh polls, I guess.
I mean, if anybody attempts it, I swear. I don't know what I was going to say. I was like, I will quit, but quit what? So, so this is where we are. Anyways, that's the very latest. So it's a bit of a mishmash. There's a lot going on. I think we'll know a little bit more after the Presidential Council meeting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we're going to be crossing over now to Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, most welcome.
So, you know, since we spoke to you yesterday, lots and lots of things have happened. Let's head to, I suppose, the very latest thing, right? What do you make of the opposition's proposal to form a coalition that would exclude DAP from the government?
Well, this is not unsurprising. This is partly what was going on from the elite backdoor government. They wanted to make sure they closed out DAP. I think that their legitimation has been about using issues of Malay unity, protection of the Malay community. And I think DAP has been, you know, seen as not as Chinese, and also it is seen, even though it has more multiracial elements in it, and it is also seen as a an enemy, so therefore they have made that a kind of a barrier for working collaboration. And I think their position really hasn't changed in terms of who they would want to work for and work with. And this is not, you know, I think you were saying earlier just now about how parties don't work together and others. These are things that are very common in coalition systems. Some parties are willing to make compromises with others and some are not. What makes Malaysia more complicated and more is that often these things are on racial grounds, and then they become they leave these very potential exclusive and issues of inclusion very problematic in the political system.
What sort of bargaining power does the opposition hold at this moment?
Well, I think that the opposition, as the negotiations are happening in the course of the last day or so, and I think there's been intervention on the part of the king to set some of those negotiations to find out who will, you know, who has the most support, and there's been a considerable horse trading. I think that many parts of the opposition, UMNO and FAS, have not necessarily been on the winning side of those, at least as they evolve, although the situation remains highly fluid. So what I think is that their call for elections, that's where they feel they have the most advantage. Mm-hmm. They feel that they can have you know, when they go to the public, they'll gain support, and they think they'll have their numbers. I think it is also for them a gamble, but I think they're looking at the recent by-election results, and they legitimize this from a strategic point of view, and so their call for dissolution is not a surprise because this is where they have an advantage.
And what do you make of this idea of a unity government? That's of course something that we've heard Tun Mahathir, you know, we have not heard from Tun. We've heard tell that Tun Dr. Mahathir is pushing for that. What do you make of that?
Well, I think right now there is this real challenge. There's a tension between those who want stability in the system and those who want more democratic issues and issues of inclusion. Those tensions are playing out in how people are perceiving what the government should be and who should be in who should be part of that and how they should work together. I think the unity government is based on this idea of having a stability, and there are different versions of the unity government. What PAS and UMNO see as a unity government is more racialized and more focused on issues of Malay unity, while the other conceptualizations of unity government are seen to be more inclusive of different ethnic communities, but predominantly Malay in terms of its composition. And it is seen to be sort of addressing the issues of stability and also helping Malaysia get through this fragmented political party transition, which I think is creating a lot of challenges because the system, you know, this is new for Malaysia coalition politics, and the fact is that there's so many parties and many of them having different splits and interests, and this has created a lot of confusion, but also a lot of horse jockeying in the process. And I think the unity government aims to try to bring more people into the tent. They look, for example, at the model of Indonesia, which has been seen to have a more consensus coalition that provide for a less confrontational political system. I think it's harder to do that in the Malaysia context, given some of the tensions you just spoke about, that the parties have see some of them each other as enemies and they don't work well together.
And how would that work, and how exactly would the likes of Bersatu and the likes of Azmin Ali and other PKR members, how would they fit into this picture of a unity government? Would they?
Well, I'm sure that there'll be elements, that depends on who guides and chooses who the unity government is. And right now, Mahathir has a considerable influence in terms of helping to set the direction. And I think that some elements and some people from Bersatu potentially could be in that. And I do think that there are different factions within Bersatu, and think that the party is quite split. Some people, and those splits have been playing itself out as well in recent events. And I think so the unity government could bring in elements from multiple parties, not just Bersatu, maybe even bringing some people in from UMNO and PAS in that context, but not all of them. I think, this is something that is the idea is to help Malaysia move forward in a more unified fashion and bring in stability into the political process. It will be difficult because these parties have not worked together. And I think that there's a lot of mistrust and distrust in the system. And the question really becomes is whether or not they're going to be able to put beyond their personal interests and also their political party's interests for the interests of the country.
And, you know, a big part of this conversation has been Tun M's position, right, and influence and where that stands in the midst of this. Would a unity government actually serve to strengthen his position? And if it did, how would that lead on to the stability potentially of this new government that would have to carry through for the next 2 or 3 years?
I think a unity government will be very challenging to manage there'll be different parties there. And I think it's also, you know, the other issue whether or not Thun will be the leader of that government or not. I think right now he's a prime minister in the interim. There's no guarantee that he will be the prime minister in the long term in this process. And clearly there is ultimately the issue of the transition post Thun Mahathir may happen, may even happen sooner than has been projected, given the issues of the fluidity, what's happening in the system. But for now, you know, Mahathir has a considerable influence in determining who's in it. And I think it will be if this moves forward, and there are other things that are on the table as well. But in this particular case, one of the trajectories, if it moves forward, I think what was very important is about the people that are brought in into it in a way that are putting it and focusing on the interests of the country.
If Thun Mahathir acts as a sort of linchpin for this possible new unity government, wouldn't then the questions of transition to another leader become more pressing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it is very clear that the issue of who will become the next prime minister is already on the table. It was on the table since for quite some time. It was one of the catalysts that has moved some of these issues forward. And it is the constant elephant in the room in every conversation in terms of the jockeying political process.
We have a question here from WhatsApp from Zach, who wants to know who will do the check and balance if we have this unity government.
Well, I think that's a very good question in the sense that, I think my own sense is it depends on which sort of unity government we're talking about. Are we talking about a Malay unity government or a unity government that is seen as more inclusive of multiple communities? And I think that there will still, my own sense is that in either alternative, there will be opposition actors. And I think we have now in Malaysia a strong parliament, a stronger judiciary. Yes, there's still room to strengthen the checks and balance system. But in the last 18 months, we've seen considerable strengthening of these institutions. And we've also seen a very important element, which is the ordinary people. And those people do a phenomenal job in terms of raising issues in the media. So there will be checks and balances in the system. I think one of the things right now is that the system remains democratic. There has not been, you know, the whole process has been peaceful. It's been based at the elite level, but it has been one that is, a lot of uncertainty is still one that is, stayed within the bounds of a maturing political system.
Right, and the Pakatan Harapan Council is purported to be considering Thun's alleged proposal. What considerations would they need to make?
Well, I think obviously you've already mentioned one, which is who's going to be the next prime minister and who will lead this government. And then, of course, what sort of positions will people have within that government, which is where, you know, a lot of these issues have to do with positioning and positions. And of course, who else will be the partners that are inside? Yeah. And I think these are the things that are happening. And this is unfortunate because a lot of these are about personality and positions, not about principles or policies. But this is what's happening in the nature of how coalition system is evolving now. At this particular juncture.
With the fact that UMNO and PAS have essentially now said, oh, if DAP is involved, then we don't want any part of this. How does that factor into the larger goal of having a unity government? I mean, either in terms of the conceptual idea of it, of reaching across all the political parties, or for that matter, just the sheer numbers of trying to get enough people to put together a government?
I think, you know, I wanted to comment first about your comment that it's a terrible situation. I think yes, this is very traumatic for Malaysians to watch this out. And what distinguishes Malaysia is that a lot of these things are coming out into the public. They're using the media, the horse shocking, the elite trading negotiations are out there. But I also would say on a more positive side that that this has so far been a peaceful process. It's been driven it's being managed. In the sense that there people are looking for solutions, there's discussions, and the unity government is one of those alternatives that's being put on the table. Now, in terms of the issues of the numbers of the unity government, I think it has to do with where what happens in terms of the splits of other parties and who Thun brings in. I think ultimately, in terms of the long-term future, right now, of being a unity government, DAP, given its legitimation in terms of the electoral legitimation support, it is a very strong player in the numbers it has in the parliament. It is a strong player to be part of that. It would not be unity government without them. But I think that the question of who else will be in it and what the numbers that they will have. I think the sense is that they want a very strong and very high majority in order for to have the government to be stability to stop the situation of constant politicking and constant kind of infighting and splits that we've seen in the last few days. I think that as we've discussed earlier, Pasanamno wants an election because they think that they can have a stronger hand and be able to change and not have to have this type of alternative.
But I guess on that note, one common thing we've constantly heard from analysts is that by-elections are not the same as a general election. In this case, if it were to come to fresh polls, how would it fare for UMNO and PAS, Barisan and PAS?
I think a lot of it has to do with how Pakatan Harapan redefines itself and what its leadership structure is going to be. I think that UMNO and PAS are working on the assumption that it's going to be the same players that they're going to go against. I think the concern I have is the potential ethnicized nature of the contest and what issues are going to be mobilized in that area because that creates a much more tense electoral environment. But I think, the reality is that the parties are much weaker all across the board, and they don't have the same legitimation, the same resources, the same, narratives that they've had in the past. So it is going to be a very different type of election if it does happen. But I think it is also one that leads to the potential issues of a very tense and negative type of campaigning, which, of course, given where Malaysia has got what it's gone through in recent times, probably is not good for Malaysia's economy or the country.
And Bridget, we just have a little bit of time left with you, but if a consensus can't be reached on, what version of the unity government we may see, what are the remaining options on the table?
Well, the options are a continuation of the interim prime minister an extension of the interim period, or elections. I think that these are, and the fact is that the pressure is heavily on reaching some sort of compromise. And I think that these three alternatives are the ones that are the most democratic ones that are there: finding a new government or going to the polls.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us today.
Most welcome.
You just heard there from Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, weighing in on the very latest news that we've heard. Like we said, essentially, BN and PAS have said that so long as DAP is, I think, a part of any sort of governance...
we don't want it.
Yeah, we're not working with them. So they've withdrawn their support for Tun M and are just saying, fresh polls, that's the only way. On the other hand, we still have the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council that's going to be meeting tonight. Yep. So we'll be covering that tomorrow. You can expect, hopefully, to hear analysis on whatever comes out of that, just all throughout the station. So that's it from us on the serious side of things. After the 7:30 news, we are going to be talking about cowboys. We're going to be talking about westerns because on Popcorn Culture tonight, we're throwing back to A Fistful of Dollars, the classic by Sergio Leone and Clint Eastwood and Ennio Morricone and all the rest of it. So if you've been waiting for a break from political news, here you go. That's coming your way after this. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.